Good morning. It is Wednesday, September 21st, and things that are trending this hour. Tim Allen, he's gone viral for a Biden joke. On his Twitter account, he posted, "Biden was on 60 Minutes. I heard he asked how long the show was." How old is Tim Allen?
I would guess 69.
Perfect. That's it exactly.
Yes!
Also trending this hour, 10 common STDs. People want to know what the most common sexually transmitted infection is. The answer, chlamydia.
I would have guessed chlamydia.
Also trending is
not
Dilbert.
Not that I know from personal experience.
Right, of course not. Also trending is Dilbert. The author, Scott Adams, says that the comic strip about corporate office culture has been removed from 77 papers. It's 8 minutes after 9. Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Can we start with some breaking news?
Sure.
And I hate to hit you with this, but it just came across the wire, and I felt we had to put it out there because it's very important, but it will also enrage certain members of our audience. And so that is, you know, always a win for everyone.
Okay.
There's a new poll out that says in Florida, this is USA Today, Suffolk University poll, that says in Florida, and I just emailed this over to you, that DeSantis would beat Trump by 8 points if there were a Republican primary held today. Now, that shouldn't be surprising because the people who, as a governor, right, it's like, why was Mike Pence doing so poorly in the polls leading up to when Trump picked him? Because people knew Pence, right? Pence was going to lose his reelection to John Gregg. And if there were a poll right now, I'm telling you, in Indiana, Donald Trump would overwhelmingly be favored over Mike Pence because people know Mike Pence. But in Florida, people know Ron DeSantis. They like what they have seen from Ron DeSantis, especially over the past year. Because in January, Trump had a 7-point lead in a similar poll against DeSantis. So it's a 15-point swing in the past year. So right now you're hearing the narrative has already started. Oh my gosh, DeSantis, he was such a rising star and he had such a great future. Now he's totally burning it by sending all these illegal immigrants to various different conclaves of liberalism. And he's just blown it all. And the Hispanics are so upset with him and they're just turning on him left and right. Not true at all. The more people are exposed to Ron DeSantis, the better he does. And this is the dealio. As people learn about Ron DeSantis, once he is easily reelected governor, which he will be, it will be by more than 5 points. It will catapult him further into the national spotlight. And this is very good news for conservatives in the Republican Party, because the more people see Ron DeSantis, the more they like him, the more they stop and ask themselves, why would I deal with Trump?
Right, exactly. And that means Trump is going to fade away.
Yes. So anyway, just thought that would be great to lead the show with, because there's still a handful of clinger honors out there who, no matter what Trump does, will excuse it, defend it, whatever. Ron DeSantis doing very well amongst the people who know him.
Yeah, we're gearing up for a DeSantis-Newsom showdown.
Yes, and we have something later in the show.
We'll get into that more later in the show. But 8 points, if that were anybody but Trump, you would say, well, that's a mandate.
Yeah. No, and look, I think the takeaway from it is, one, it's a 15-point swing in the same poll from earlier this year. And the other side of this is that as people see him, the more they like him. And I think the bigger issue is not just that they like him, but when you compare and contrast him to Trump.
Right. Why do you want the circus show when you can get the same sort of policy with DeSantis without it?
Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack the show, but I just saw that.
No, it's all good. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. It's 11 minutes after 9, and the status of COVID-19 in the country now that President Biden has said the pandemic is over. Well, the U.S. has not formally declared it over. Oh. In fact, we're still operating under the public health emergency, which was first declared in January of 2020. In fact, the Department of Health and Human Services is expected to renew the designation in October and then let the public health emergency expire in January of 23. And even this month, the White House COVID-19 response coordinator recently said that the pandemic is not over. So the president says it's over. The White House coordinator says that it's not over. If they could all just get on the same page. I have an idea.
Yes.
Maybe the White House press secretary has a straight answer. She had a presser yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you think she's on the same page?
Well, she's usually an act of great clarity, mm-hmm. of directness, of easy to understand words. However, in this case, Casey.
Yeah.
See what I did there? This case, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope Corinne Jean-Pierre did not injure anyone trying to backpedal her way out of Biden saying COVID was over.
The president said, and he was very clear in his 60 Minutes interview, that COVID remains a problem and we're fighting it. And we have to continue to make sure that we are fighting this once in a generation pandemic.
Okay, help Casey, because I very clearly heard Biden say the pandemic is over. You heard it too, right?
Yeah, she just said we're fighting it, and he literally said the pandemic is over.
What are we? You know what this is? This is someone who goes through a divorce, who it is a long, contentious divorce, years and years to settle, high animosity over assets, and then it gets settled. Mm-hmm. Both parties agree to the settlement before it has to go in front of a judge. You've signed off on it. And then yet you keep fighting with each other even after the divorce settlement. Look, we're done here. It wasn't a good experience for anyone. Mm-hmm. We both wish we could take it back. We both wish we had the years back. But in this case, we have all agreed at this point. All players have agreed. Conservatives agreed a long time ago, pandemic over. Biden has now agreed, pandemic over.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't a good experience for either one of us, but we both agree it's over, and now we're still going to fight this out, even though we've all signed off on what was a terrible deal for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Do you think she saw that interview on 60 Minutes and said to herself, well, I know what I'm doing at work tomorrow?
Well, and this is the problem, right, with your party being beholden to radical, maniac, generally uninformed lunatics, is the whole thing was based on this can never, ever, ever, never, ever, 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 never, ever stop, mm-hmm. because zero COVID, their rules, not mine,
mm-hmm.
became the standard by which the pandemic will be over, because that's why we kept doing everyone must get a vaccine, everyone must always wear a mask, the infection rate doesn't matter, zero COVID became the standard. Well, it's not zero COVID or anywhere close, so how do you declare it over?
Mm-hmm. It will continue forever because remember the White House coordinator said you have two arms, one for the vaccine for COVID and the other is for a flu shot. And the companies just love making all sorts of money from the vaccine. Pfizer reported a 92% revenue growth, $81 billion. Moderna earned $12 billion last year. And Johnson & Johnson, well, $2.5 billion.
Real quick, because I know we got to get to a break, but can you read those numbers again? That's staggering.
Sure. Pfizer, 92% growth, $81
billion. Oh. So 92% growth.
Mm-hmm.
Just take the number out of it, 92% growth. How in a recession or the Biden economy in which everything is complete crap,
mm-hmm.
like think about the company you work for or you own, have you experienced 92% growth?
Yeah.
How is that even possible? Oh, it's possible when the government completely rigs something in your favor for a desired outcome. That's how it happens.
Yeah. Get your fork ready, kids. We've got a heaping helping of word salad from Kamala Harris on the way from 93 WIBC. So she was in South Carolina promoting voter registration when Kamala Harris explained that the Biden administration understands that community banks are in the community. Learning new words is fun. Today's word du jour, community. Let's listen to Kamala.
Do we have that?
Invested an additional $12 billion into community banks because we know community banks are in the community and understand the needs and desires of that community as well as the talent and capacity of community.
So she said the word community five times in one sentence.
Can we just play it again? Because I know we missed the first part of that. Let's see how many times we can count community in there, all right?
So we invested an additional $12 billion into community banks mm-hmm. because we know community banks are in the community mm-hmm. and understand the needs and desires of that community, mm-hmm. as well as the talent and capacity of community.
Uh-huh. Five times. Same word, five times. Look, I am not... Look, I am not a Rhodes Scholar, mm-hmm. but I am a product of the public education system and did make the dean's list at IUPUI. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm qualified to say that when I was taught paragraph structure, you are not supposed to use the same word five times in what would be considered the same paragraph. Like if you are referring to, you know, a person or a thing, you do not just keep calling it the same person or thing. Mm-hmm. And she very clearly violated that rule.
I think her speechwriters need to find a thesaurus. And let's be honest, the government doesn't invest in anything. The private sector invests. What she actually means is that the government gave $12 billion of taxpayer money to banks. And now it's government spending. So
they took it from someone who didn't earn it, or gave it from someone who earned it and gave it to someone who didn't earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true whether it's actual money or printed money, because printed money is money from future generations who mm-hmm. will earn it. So congratulations, you stole. Good job.
Now, here's a Kamala impersonator. I think you'll like this one. She's reciting the words to Fleetwood Mac's Don't Stop.
Listen, full stop. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow, okay? Don't stop, because it'll soon be here, okay? It'll soon be here. It'll be here better than before. Okay, yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone. Okay, it's gone. And listen, full stop, it is gone. Yeah.
That's really well done.
Yeah, I thought she did a pretty good job, too. All right, let's talk about the border. This news happened last night. Encounters along the border surpassed 2 million for the first time in a year. And this is according to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. They say that 2.1 million arrests along the border have been made, and that was up from 1.7. So Biden, in fewer than 2 years, has already racked up over a million more illegal crossings than Trump did throughout his entire administration.
Say that statistic again, because that's staggering.
2.1 million arrests along the border so far this year.
But that is more mm-hmm. than in Trump's entire presidency?
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
In 2 years, yeah.
That's an unbelievable statistic that in less than 2 years, this guy has managed to eclipse the, you know, level of arrests because of the flood of new excessive illegal immigrants entering the country mm-hmm. in less than 2 years. I mean, that is a staggering perspective on how porous the border situation has become under Joe Biden. Now, yeah, go ahead.
Well, just remember, though, Karine Jean-Pierre, White House press secretary, said the immigration system was decimated
mm-hmm.
under the previous administration.
Oh, decimated.
So they're blaming the last guy.
Okay, so we got two audio clips, and we probably need to take a break because we need time to get into them. But here's, and this happens all the time, and you can see this because the media is starting to do it, too. So they being the administration, and I put Biden in this, even though he is supposed to be the administration, he's clearly, he gets marching orders from everyone else. Hey, Grandpa, go out and say this. When they start to just randomly say the same thing, mm-hmm. like remember with inflation where it was supposed to be transitory,
right.
like that just word just popped out and then everybody started using it.
Mm-hmm.
It's I call it a coordinated attack when it comes from the government.
Yeah, it's the talking points.
And we are now seeing a coordinated attack because they all have just randomly started using the same phraseology and same description of what's happening on the border.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this yesterday when we had the misfortune of having to talk about on-demand abortion advocate anti-woman Destiny Wells, and her supporters decided, like, they thought that was going to punish me by flooding my Twitter account with negative comments. Don't threaten me with a good time. But on the stuff we were saying, because I guess they started listening, which was great. Hello, thank you for contributing to my bonus. I really appreciate you doing that, Destiny Wells supporters. They started using this phraseology, too, to describe the border. So clearly the memo has gone out.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous, but the memo's gone out. So we will prove this to you when we come back.
All right. That's on the way from 93 WIBC. The U.S. Border Patrol is reporting more than three times the number of encounters at the border have been experienced under Biden than were experienced under Trump. So data shows that the average number of encounters under Biden is roughly 189,000 per month, compared to just 51,000 when Trump was in office. And nearly 8,000 migrants are now crossing the southern border every day.
Okay, and so obviously the thing that DeSantis and Abbott and Ducey are doing is clearly having an impact on the Democrats. It is very likely having an impact on people's voting preferences for the midterm elections. Magically, we have seen now, what do you know, Herschel Walker's ahead in Georgia. Masters is basically tied in Arizona. The former attorney general in New Mexico is now ahead in several polls. Oz is closing on Fetterman. Now, again, just a month ago, oh, there's no point in even running candidates. People have fallen in love with the Democrats all over again. We are nothing but a nation of on-demand abortion lusters, and this was just terrible. The Green Dream, all these things. So what you have seen is that the actions of leaders, and this is what people need to take away from this. What is Ron DeSantis? What is Greg Abbott? In this case, what is Ducey in Arizona? They're leaders. They didn't ask for permission. They didn't worry about whether their adult supervision in the donor lobbyist class, or let me rephrase that, who is so often the adult supervision in the donor lobbyist class, would frown upon them or look down upon them. They said, we are leading, we are doing this, and it is working. And the reason you know it's working is, number one, there is now a flood of articles that I've seen in the past couple of days about what an egregious mistake Ron DeSantis is making. Mm-hmm. He had a shoe-in victory, re-election victory in Florida. Now, just never mind that a couple weeks before that, all the articles were about Charlie Crist closing in Florida. DeSantis in big trouble.
Yeah.
Now the article is shoe-in victory, and he has alienated so many Hispanic voters, Casey. By the way, how insulting is it if you're a Hispanic voter that the media just assumes you would automatically want illegal immigrants to be in this country? Mm-hmm. Like, that is so, it's racist.
Well, that happened to me in 2016. A lot of people assumed that I would vote for Hillary Clinton because I was a woman.
Because you were a woman.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to vote for Hillary, right? Wrong.
So,
same thing.
You know this is working because you have seen a flood of articles now about what an egregious mistake DeSantis is making. They're oddly not doing it to Abbott, but I think they recognize a piece of moldy cheese could beat Beto O'Rourke, so I don't think they're willing to die on that hill. But the other thing they're doing is now you have a coordinated new explanation for what's happening on the border. And what I mean is, when things just magically pop out of thin air, like the border has been going on for 21 months now with Biden. Since the moment he got in office, the illegal immigrants recognized this is a do drop in society. Now let's go. And now, 21 months later, there suddenly becomes this new excuse as to what's happening. And it is, Casey, well, these aren't illegal immigrants. There are people fleeing oppression. There are people fleeing communism. They're not illegal immigrants. There are people fleeing communism.
Yeah, these are the new coordinated talking points, right? And that's exactly what Karine Jean-Pierre had to say.
Staying on the border and the record number of arrests that we are seeing, the president campaigned on addressing the root causes of migration. He's been in office now for almost 2 years. We are seeing these apprehensions reach record levels. What exactly went wrong here?
So let me just give you, just to put it into context and talk a little bit about the facts of what you just mentioned, the number that we have seen that was announced by DHS yesterday. So first, these people are fleeing communism, as we have said, as you heard DHS say as well. Falling authoritarian regimes in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba are causing a new migration challenge across the Western Hemisphere. So what we're seeing is a new, definitely a new pattern.
It's a new
brand
pattern.
It's brand new.
So the number of families traveling with minors and unaccompanied children seeking asylum under Trump has changed. Since the pandemic and Biden's administration, the biggest demo now of migrants crossing the border is single adult men.
Yes. And the reason they're spinning, one is obviously people recognize, wow, there's 2 million illegal immigrants who we have no idea who they are have entered into this country. Boy, that's kind of a big deal. It's well over 3 million, 3.5 million, I think, when you couple it with last year. also a really big deal. Colossal failure on Biden administration. Well, I guess instead of owning our failure and fixing it, it's easier to try to paint DeSantis and Abbott and Ducey as terrible, heartless people who are shipping refugees who are fleeing communism. Why does Ron DeSantis love communism so much? See how this works, Casey? Mm-hmm. See how easy this was?
Yeah, and have you ever noticed how many times when Biden is asked something, he tries to leave the room and then he comes back to give another answer?
This is my new thing that I don't understand. So he will, and there's video obviously that comes with this. You can't see it because it's radio, but there is in the video, he has ended whatever spiel he was giving. Mm-hmm. He is to the door.
Yeah.
The press is shouting questions at him.
And he decides which one he's going to answer.
And then he comes back to the podium.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And gives gives this answer, which clearly, again, coordinated. It's the exact same words that just popped out of thin air. Listen.
On the border, why is the border more overwhelmed under your watch, Mr. President?
Because there are three countries that are never happened. There are fewer immigrants coming from Central America and from Mexico. This is a totally different circumstance. What's on my watch now is Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua. And the ability to send them back to those states is not rational.
So what's under his watch is 3,484,327 apprehensions of unauthorized migrants.
And wait a second. I thought the Democrat Party was the party that loved Cuba. I thought they were the party that wanted relations with Cuba. I thought they were the party. Bernie Sanders used to vacation there. Used to go down there and hang out there. I thought the Democrat Party in those debates, when they were talking about Cuba, wanted relations with Cuba. Obama wanted the relations with Cuba, opening up the trade. What, you can't have it both ways. Boy, we're protecting these people from Cuba. When you are the people who wanted a relationship with, it's crap, Casey. It's complete crap. These people know they're caught. They know they've been exposed. Once again, it was Ron DeSantis and the governor of Texas and the governor of Arizona who didn't ask permission from the Republican Party leadership. They said, okay, children, we've got this. And they have done more damage to the Democrat Party than the donor lobbyist crowd had in a year and a half.
And isn't it interesting that we have no clear answer of who gets deported and who doesn't?
There is no plan.
I don't need 87,000 IRS agents. How about 87,000 Border Patrol agents?
Okay, Casey.
Yes.
Now, you may be thinking from time to time that you've had a very bad day. Mm-hmm. Like your day didn't go great.
Right.
Maybe you would say, mm-hmm. man, it's been a rough week. Mm-hmm. We've all had that. Mm-hmm. I know yesterday when you were treated very anti-woman by the Destiny Wells Secretary of State campaign, refusing to correspond with you. And look, I get it, Casey. Destiny Wells did not want you to ask her about being an on-demand abortion cheerleader. I get it. But she was very anti-woman in her refusal to email you because just the day before they had said they wanted to be on the show. And I think it's terrible that a campaign of a woman mm-hmm. is being anti-woman to women in the workplace. And mm-hmm. we talked about that, and I think you were totally besmirched. And if I were a woman, I'd have a very hard time for voting for an anti-woman candidate, which it appears Destiny Wells and her team are. But that's beside the point. You had a bad day yesterday. So I wanted to put...
Thanks.
I wanted to put... Well, I just... You were treated very poorly, mm-hmm. and we should not have candidates running...
I turned it around, but I understand
I know.
What
no,
saying.
You handled it with grace yeah, yeah. and class mm-hmm. and brilliance, and you were a strong woman in the workplace.
Thank you.
And we need more strong women in the workplace, which is why it was so weird that you were treated so poorly by the Destiny Wells campaign. If I were a woman, there's no way I could vote for Destiny Wells just based on the fact that she was so anti-woman towards you. But all that aside, no matter how bad your day is, mm-hmm. no matter how awful it is, mm-hmm. you are not having as bad a time as Mark Zuckerberg is.
This is true. Mark Zuckerberg is not having a good time right now. He has lost a lot of dough. How much? Well, we'll tell you coming up from 93 WIBC.
It's easy if you try.
So do you remember when Facebook switched to Meta? They got a new logo. It looked like a pretzel. Well, it cost Zuckerberg some dough. His fortune has been cut in half and then some, dropping $71 billion so far this year. But don't cry for him, though. At $55 billion, his net worth still ranks in the top 20 among global billionaires. This is, however, the lowest spot he's been in since 2014.
Okay, so let's just clarify what you said because it is a staggering statistic. Mark Zuckerberg mm-hmm. has lost mm-hmm. $71 billion.
This year.
So far this year.
This year.
And this is a weird conundrum for me because, okay, like you look at the top leaders in the, you know, the world's richest people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got, Zuckerberg, Bezos, Steve Ballmer, Gates, mm-hmm. Michael Dell, Elon Musk, and... this is a conundrum for me because I hate when the stock market doesn't do well because I know regular people are going to hurt when the stock market doesn't do well. But there is some sort of joy in my heart, and this is terrible, when you see awful manipulative people like Mark Zuckerberg mm-hmm. or a Bezos who are uber radical lefties lose. In the case of Mark Zuckerberg, so combined, I'm doing math in my head here, I believe that is... $117 billion between Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg.
106 is what I have.
Is that right?
Yeah, 106 billion.
Well, this okay, it doesn't matter.
You're probably right.
The chart here says Zuckerberg lost 71, Bezos lost 46. I'm doing math in my head. Either way, whether it's 117, 106, whatever it is, the fact that those two clowns together lost over $100 billion
mm-hmm.
does a heart happy.
So Zuckerberg introduced Meta and then changed the name from Facebook Inc. And now it's just been going downhill. And plus, Instagram hasn't been doing as well either. They introduced Reels, and a lot of people are now saying that there's just way too much going on Instagram. Of course, Reels was their answer to TikTok. And all of Zuckerberg's wealth is tied up in Meta stock, by the way. He doesn't have another income source like Elon Musk.
It probably is a real sense of panic because, mm-hmm. and we've talked about this many times, this is the danger of investing in the unknown, and in this case, technology, because technology has a two-fight front, right? Like Walmart has the fight primarily of competition, which is whether it's Target or Meijer or whatever, large retailers that sell a variety of groceries and clothing, it's electronics, et cetera. So that is the thing that Walmart has to worry about. But in the case of technology, not only is it competition, but it is the actual technology itself. Like Walmart, by and large, now I get, look, they, you know, 30 years ago, Walmart was selling VHS tapes. VHS no longer exists. But by and large, Walmart does the same semblance of construction that it did 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's a section for groceries. Mm-hmm. There's clothes. There's some technology. There's, you know, household items. There's
right.
toiletries. You know, all the stuff in the Walmart is basically the same type of stuff. The technology, you're going against competition and the technology itself. We talked about this before. Jaden's generation,
mm-hmm.
he'll be 24
mm-hmm.
on Friday.
I know. Happy birthday, Jaden.
What a gift to have a birthday on the weekend.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's a total ripoff. Like, if your birthday's on a Tuesday, you're totally getting screwed. But if you've got a birthday on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that is a real, real gift. But the point is, his generation not going to Facebook.
Right.
They're not, I mean, I guess now even kind of Instagram is becoming...
Mm-hmm.
outdated.
Mm-hmm.
So how does Facebook resurrect itself, or Meta, or whatever we're calling it now, resurrect itself when not only is the competition in the space strong, but the technology itself has passed the target demo. The target demo has passed the technology itself by.
And there's new platforms being invented all of the time
yeah.
and introduced. I mean, which app do you go to most? So it used to be, you know, you wake up, you check your phone, see if you got any texts, maybe check your email, and then the majority of people would go to Facebook. Now that's changing. So you wake up, you turn off the alarm, you check your phone, see if you have any texts. Which app do you go to now? Is it Twitter? And then maybe Facebook? And then Instagram? And then TikTok? And now there's this Be Real, and new ones just keep coming up. So it's, like you mentioned, a totally changing environment, and Zuckerberg is the one that's losing. He tried to rebrand himself. He uploaded a video with him doing martial arts and has referred to himself as a product designer. So here's another question for you. Is Facebook a product that does better or worse when you associate the product to the owner? I'd say it probably doesn't help him very much. It's 9:51. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And this is it. America getting a preview this week of what the 24 presidential campaign could look like when you get Biden and Trump out of there. If they were to step aside, who are we left with? Ron DeSantis of Florida, Gavin Newsom of California, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, that's a stark contrast, right? And it's a very clear dynamic, right? Like, I always thought the Trump-Clinton campaign was kind of perfect because it was, what do you want America to be? Here's the contrast, the ultimate capitalist versus, you know, one of the leading socialists in America. And that was a contrast for people. And many people voted for Trump because they did not want what Hillary Clinton brought to the table. Every Trump voter should own that, that Donald Trump became president because how awful Hillary Clinton is, was, and always will be. And in this case, you will have a very clear dynamic because they're not, I think Newsom is a little bit older than DeSantis, but at least in terms of a younger Gen X era of people, these will be the first Gen X candidate, would be the first Gen X candidates for the major parties. And you have a very clear contrast to ask society, what do you want your country to look like? Do you want it to look like Florida or do you want it to look like California? That is a great ad that 100% sells itself.
Okay, so Newsom recently challenged Ron DeSantis to a debate. And of course, Ron DeSantis answered the call.
You have any interest in debating good old Gavin Newsom on his record taxes, state income taxes?
Well, like I said, Sean, I don't know if they can reliably keep the power on. So you go all the way up there and have a debate, and then what ends up happening, you know, if they can't keep
you'll
the lights on.
Out.
So, you know, we're happy with what we're doing. You know, what I do, though, Sean, my actions speak louder than my words. There's certain people that'll preen and do that. I understand. We get things done in Florida.
So there's going to be a lot of people that are coming out against Kamala if Biden doesn't run.
There's no way Kamala Harris will be the nominee for president if Biden doesn't run. The Democrats are going to look for something else, and it'll be ironic because the party of wokeness and equity and, you know, everybody's got to be treated exactly the same, and we've got to benefit props up for this group over that group. They will probably very likely nominate a white man to run for president once again.
Yeah, and you can see it in Newsom's recent moves. He's trying to be a little bit more moderate. He's trying to play to the middle. But it really got me thinking, Rob. Imagine that. What if it were DeSantis and Newsom? It'd be like a prize fight, wouldn't it? What would that sound like? Oh, wait a minute. I'm feeling Michael Buffer taking over. In this corner, we have the dashing debutante wearing a tieless tuxedo with an unbuttoned collar. This professional politician is the 40th and current governor of California. In politics since 1996, this wine taster is the toast of the green dream. Defending the liberal arts, Nancy's nephew, Gavin Gruesome Newsom. And on the right side, we have the current governor of the Sunshine State, jutting out for justice like his peninsula proper, the man who sails to victory on issues, always sporting the required uniform like a World League champion in red, white, and blue, the daddy from Dunedin, Florida's fighter, America's governor, Ron DeSantis.
Very good. I like it. Very well done.
And no copyright laws were broken. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Good morning.